The focus of my words this morning is going to be on the text from 1 Corinthians rather than the gospel I just proclaimed. Of course, we believe and perceive connection among it all, but if you're somebody who likes to have the text at hand, that's the page you'll want to be on. This morning, I want to dwell a little bit on body awareness, perceiving the body, body memory. Body awareness, something that we grow into as people and then lose touch with at various points of our ages and stages of development. I think of times where I have been more in my skin and less in my skin, sixth grade, kind of a pinnacle or a plummet of body awareness in my life. Awareness as I get older of things that don't work the same way they did before. Awareness, of course, that as we age, our bodies function differently. And that there are certain illnesses and diseases that focus specifically on this. Beginning with an image of Parkinson's disease, which is something that in very my lay terms, sort of undoes the muscle memory that we accrue through life so that the body doesn't do what the mind wants it to do. Instead, it spasms and stiffens. One of the great resources and interventions that has come up in the community of Parkinson's patients and their caregivers and supporters has been dance. I don't know if any of you have seen this. When I send this to be posted on the website, I'm going to try to find a video of the program I'm going to talk about. Members of the Mark Morris Modern Dance Group in New York were approached by somebody within the Parkinson's community asking about dance as an intervention. And what began as workshops with like four people has grown into an international movement where people are invited to come and dance at whatever stage of the progression of the illness they are. Some people are in chairs or wheelchairs, and some people are still able to get up and walk. And the process of being moved through movements and steps and gestures to music, guided by the capable and gentle hands and voice of the instructor, people think actually works on the brain to retrain the brain, to rewire the muscle memory so that the body moves more gracefully and less jerkily. On a deeper or parallel or perhaps just in a spiritual vocabulary, it gives participants a sense of connectedness. It turns isolation into community is what UniLu member Evelyn Benander said when she gave an award that is in her brother's honor, who lived with Parkinson's, to the founders of this movement, this Parkinson's dance program. From isolation, bodies isolated from themselves, bodies isolated from community, people experience themselves knit back together in a room with others where appearance doesn't matter, skill level doesn't matter. The point is the connection. This is not what the community of Corinth, to which Paul writes this letter, looks like. This collective body of the Church of God that is in Corinth, which is how Paul addresses them in the beginning of the letter, is experiencing a lot of division and conflict. The letter is a pastoral intervention sent. It's not the first letter, though we don't have the first letter. It is something my Paul, professor at the Lutheran School of Theology in Chicago, had us read a letter written from a church council to a congregation that was in the middle of tremendous conflict. And they blocked out all the like identifying details and then asked us to try to piece together what was happening in the church. And this was an actual letter in a particular time. And we all came up with different conjectures about what was actually going on. This is kind of like 1 Corinthians. We're hearing one side of the conversation. Paul has founded this community. He's gotten word that things are not going well, that power divisions are arising, that competing claims to wisdom and wealth and spiritual gifts are very much at play. It seems the wealthier persons, those higher up on the social and cultural food chain, are treating those of lower rank as exactly that, of lower rank. And it's very likely, given what we know about the social and cultural moorings of Corinth at this time, that these people didn't even notice that they were treating these people this way, because it was the natural and assumed and expected way to behave. It wouldn't occur to you not to treat the weaker, poorer, lower members that way. Paul uses this image of the body to try to talk these people back into the dance of connection. Body is a metaphor for a body politic, for a collective body. It wasn't unique to Paul. This was a very common image in Greek and Roman philosophy and conversation. Every community like a body, different parts doing different things. When all the parts are healthy, the body is healthy. When parts are ill or out of sync, the body is disordered. But in much of that rhetoric, that image of the body is used by the elite and the powerful to tell the people in the other parts of the body to stay in line, to know their place, that they should be okay with being slaves or dishonored because that's their part. This language was used actually in American slavery to tell African Americans when they caught word of that spirit of God, that spirit that Paul says that we've all been led to drink from. It was like, oh, this means we're part of the body. And white slave owners who were happy to have their slaves become Christian were very quick to say, oh, but not like that. You're part of this mystical body, and all is well if you keep in your place. So some of this is going on already in this Corinthian community, but Paul takes this image of the body and he serves it up with a twist. And rather than pointing to a natural order or societal valuing of rules and class, citizen, slave, freed people, he reminds them that they've all been made to drink of this same spirit. The spirit of the crucified and risen Christ, which is the spirit of sacrifice and service for the sake of others, for the sake of the body, for the sake of the whole. As one of the scholars I read this week wrote, ancient cities guarded their citizenship roles jealously. Slaves, former slaves, persons born to non-citizen parents, foreigners, and the like need not apply. So this open-ended inclusion in the book of Corinthians points up the difference between the body of Christ and a civic body. This body that Paul is writing to, it's not like somebody with Parkinson's, though, that one time functioned in a unified and connected way. This is a body that's been formed of disparate parts by the Spirit of God. So this is a body that's learning to be a body. It's learning its interdependence. It's learning the truth that when one suffers, all suffer. And when one prospers, all prospers. And Paul uses two different scenarios of body parts talking about themselves in relationship to other body parts that sort of get at two different sides of this unease, this dis-ease with being part of the whole. The one is a body part saying, I'm not part of the body because I'm not that part. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. You can almost hear his, like, isn't this absurd tone of voice? If the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. I wonder what's going on in this community. Is this weaker parts? Are these slaves, people of lower rank, or obvious, overt, shiny giftedness, whose giftedness might be more subtle and quiet? Are they comparing themselves against the powerful members, against the articulate ones, against the shiny ones, and saying, I am not that, and therefore I do not belong? Or is it that someone of any rank who doesn't want to accept the fact that their actions and attitudes and presence and sharing of themselves actually matters to the community? I don't have to show up. I don't have to give my whole self. I'm not a part of this body. I don't know. The other imagination he uses is a body part telling another body part, I have no need of you. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. What's going on then? What has gone on in collective bodies since then? What might be happening in our own community and communities, in our own bodies, where we disdain, disparage, tell someone they aren't needed? And what does that do? So to this community, small community, this is not a megachurch in Corinth, to this group of people learning like wobbly toddlers or awkward adolescents to move together as a body, Paul sings this song. Paul gives these instructions. Paul tries to choreograph them by long-form letter back into a dance of connection, back into practices, dispositions of interaction and mind and habit that will cultivate muscle memories of generosity and regard for one another, of love. It is really a kind of skull-crushingly optimistic view Paul has, that the power of the Spirit of the risen Christ is strong enough to make as one this group of people who are not getting along, that this Spirit has the power to turn them towards each other. It's why I picked the bulletin art for this morning. Hand in hand, heart in heart, like the dancers in that Parkinson's dance program, join not because of being elite dancers, but because of love. Love flowing from this Spirit of this God who loves by yielding and giving God's self over. This God who in Jesus shows us that God does not cling to rank or prestige, that the body of God that lives in the heart of God is not a body where slaves are supposed to keep their place. It's a body in which all of those distinctions are overturned, and where we yet remain wonderfully, uniquely individuals, and yet moving graciously, fumblingly at times, as one. May it be so in your bodies, in this body, and in all bodies you are part of. Amen.